This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, this is the faith chapter. It's the Hall of Fame chapter. It's the Hall of Faith chapter. It lists the patriarchs and matriarchs, the great ones of the faith. And this is what God's word says. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Didn't have all the answers. He just obeyed God and left the consequences to him. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I pray today for the power of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, that you would go before us and that you would speak to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. You're a good God. You're worthy to be exalted. And we pray this prayer asking you for a fruitful invitation. For we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to give you the foundation of what I'm going to preach for several weeks. There's a preacher that's preached here several times. His name is Tim DeLena. He pastors a church in New York City called Times Square Church. That church has only had three pastors, and he's the third pastor. He said he began his ministry as a young man in Detroit, Michigan. He took a facility there, an X-rated movie theater, and he turned it into a church. He said, I was struggling, and I went to my mentor. His name was David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson pastored Times Square Church. If you've ever heard of Teen Challenge, he started Teen Challenge. For those of us that have a little age, the cross and the switchblade, that was David Wilkerson. He went to David Wilkerson. He said, David, I'm going into the ministry. What piece of advice would you give me? And this is what David Wilkerson said to him. He said, find some gray heads and get around them. Find some gray heads and get around them. Rick Warren said it's wise to learn from experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experience of others. And I added something to it. I said it's wise to learn from experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experience of others and not near as painful. Amen? I mean, literally, find some people and get around them. Now, why, ladies and gentlemen, was the Old Testament written? Why do we have the Old Testament? Did you ever think about that? Well, I'm going to show you today why we have the Old Testament. This is what God's word says. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, it was written for our learning. It was written for our learning that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Why was the Old Testament written? It was written for our learning, so that we would learn from it, ladies and gentlemen, and it would give us hope. That's why it was written. So what I want us to do, I want us to go to the Old Testament, and I want us to look at one of the heroes of the faith. His name was Abraham. Now get this. There was one person in the Bible, one man, just one man, no other person other than this person, who was referred to three times as a friend of God. Now, what a compliment, folks. In Isaiah 41, verse 8, in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, and in James 2 and 23, get this. He was called a friend of God. So when he walked down the street, Somebody said, who is that? Somebody else said, I'll tell you who it is. That's God's friend. Who is that man? That's God's friend. Wow, what a compliment to be called a friend of God. Now, here's what's interesting to me. I studied this man's life, this man who was called a friend of God, and I noticed something that he did. Everywhere he went, he built an altar. If you study his life, folks, he built seven altars. Everywhere he went, he built an altar. See, a personal altar will alter your personal life. I want you to know something. A family altar will alter your family. The family that prays together stays together. Amen? And a church altar will alter that church. Better than 34 years ago, when I came, Barbara and I came to Rock Springs Church for the very first time. I was going to preach on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock, but we got here about 3:30 or 4 o'clock, and I came by the church, and back then you didn't have to lock the church, so it was unlocked. And I walked in, and it had this green shag carpet. And green's always been my favorite color, so I thought, maybe this is a sign. But it had all this green. Now, it didn't have those people. You could have shot a shotgun through and not hit anybody. But I remember coming in and running down front. And I said, Barbara, I've never preached in Georgia. But I noticed they've got something. They've got altars down front. I said, I'm grateful that they have altars. Because tonight I'm going to preach. And I'm not saying people will, but I'm going to give them an opportunity to respond. And I'm grateful we've got some altars that they can come to. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, I'm preaching about Abraham and altars. And if you're going to have a fulfilled life, you're going to have some altars in your life. I don't care who you are. There's some altars you're going to have. And I want to give you those four altars as fast as I can. See, the first altar that you've got to have in your life, you've got to have a freedom altar in your life. See, when we talk about Abram, we sometimes, you say, Pastor Benny, the Jewish nation started with this man. He was the very first Jew. That's exactly right. It all started with Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It all started right there. But we get the impression sometimes that he was always a godly man. But that's not true. Abraham was from Ur of the Chaldees. That would be modern day, if we wanted to locate it on the map today, that would be Iraq. Let me tell you about this city, Ur of the Chaldees. It was actually dedicated to the moon god. To the moon god. According to Joshua 24, verse 7, Abraham and his father and his brothers, let me tell you what they did. They worshiped multiple gods. One day they'd worship the moon. The next day they worshiped the sun. They worshiped fertility. They had all kinds of gods. It was polytheism. They just worshiped multiple gods, kind of like Americans. We worship all kind of gods. All kind of gods. And that's what Abram did. One day he's worshiping the moon. The next day he's worshiping the sun. He's just got all kind of gods. But the Bible says something, ladies and gentlemen. In Acts chapter 7, verse 2, it says something. It says, the God of glory appeared unto him. The God of glory appeared unto him. Let me tell you something. Somebody may be lost. Somebody may be doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Somebody may be deep in sin. But I just stopped by to tell you, what we need to happen is the God of glory, the God of glory, to appear to a person and they can be transformed. Oh, the God of glory appeared to Abraham. And this is what happened. Get this, folks. Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. And the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I'm going to show thee. He said, Abram, you're going to have to leave Ur of the Chaldees. And I will make of thee a great nation. And by the way, he did. And I will bless thee and I'll make thy name great and thou shalt be a blessing. Look here. I will bless them that bless thee. Look here. Why am I unapologetically a staunch supporter of the nation of Israel and the Jewish people? Because God's word says, I will bless them that bless thee. I will bless them that bless thee. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee all the families of the earth will be blessed. You say, Pastor Benny, what have the Jewish people done for me? I'll tell you what they've done for you. They gave you the word of God. They gave you Jesus, the Lamb of glory. They've done a lot for you. Just a news flash, he wasn't Hispanic, he was Jewish. The Bible jumps down to verse 7, and it said, I'm going to give you this land, and look. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. Here's what he said. My days of worshiping the moon, my days of worshiping the sun, my days of worshiping fertility, my days of worshiping the trees is over. I'm building an altar to the true God of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, you need a freedom altar in your life. You need a place that you can trace it back and say, here's where I accepted Jesus and he transformed my life. Now, here's what some of you are thinking. Preacher, I don't have that. Because you got to understand, I was a little girl or I was a little boy. Well, let me explain something to you. I want to help you with that. If you can't remember that specific time, don't you think you're less than? Because you're not less than. And I want to prove it by the word of God. 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Notice, folks, it doesn't say whosoever hath believed. Let's go to another verse. He that believeth on the Son of God, not who hath believed. Let's go to 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. If you study the Bible, it never speaks of believing in past tense. It speaks in the present tense. This is good. I'll get to it. So if you're believing today and you can't trace it back to that perfect place, how do I know, Pastor Benny, that I've had an experience? Because you're believing on him today. Because you're believing on him today. Because you're trusting in him today for salvation. That's how you know. Will Rogers went one day and said, I need to get a passport. They said, well, sir, we need to see your birth certificate. He said, I don't have one. you've got to prove that you've been born. He said, well, I'm standing here. Isn't that proof enough? Folks, you need a freedom altar. You need a freedom altar. He went there and he built an altar. And look here, folks. What do you mean, preacher, you need that freedom altar? Well, look. If you go to verse 8, it says, he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. Wait. And pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. Right in the middle of them, he built an altar. Bethel means house of God. Hea means heap of ruins. Where are we, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you where you'll always be. You'll always be between the house of God and a heap of ruins. You'll always be between the house of God and a heap of ruins. And all that's going to keep you moving to the house of God, all that's going to keep you in that direction, is right there between them. Build an altar unto the Lord. Now look, you need a freedom altar, but I'm trying to move. But you need a forgiveness altar. You said, Brother Benny, what did you tell me? Well, let me explain. Abraham and Sarah and the nephew Lot, they're heading to the promised land. They're heading out to the promised land, but something happens. The Bible says there's a famine in the land. And here's what happens. Abraham said, we better go down to Egypt. See, look, folks, instead of obeying God, he started leaning to his own understanding. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but come up real close. You get in trouble when instead of obeying God, you lean to your own understanding. He said there's a famine, and I believe we ought to go down to Egypt. Instead of doing what God says, he leaned to what he thought. We get in trouble when instead of obeying what God says, ladies and gentlemen, we lean to what we think is right. We rationalize and justify and lean to our own understanding. They're heading down there, and he looks over at Sarah. And I'm preaching the Bible. She was 65, but she was a knockout. Do you folks read the Bible? She was a knockout. And he said, Sarah, the Pharaoh of Egypt has the ability, if he sees a pretty woman, he can kill her husband and take you as his wife. And he said, listen, you're a combination of Wonder Woman and Betty Crocker. And he said, he's going to want you. If he finds out I'm your husband, I'll be dead. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell him that you're my sister. Now, here's what you may not know, folks. If you study the Bible closely, they were half brother and sister. They were half brother and sister, and married, maybe from Alabama, but half brother. I don't know, but married. And wait, they get down there, and that Pharaoh says, "Oh me, she is a knockout." He said, "I want her," and he takes her. But look. Before he could consummate the marriage, God sent a plague on all Pharaoh's household. God sent a plague. See, folks, there's a high price for low living. God sent a plague on all the family. I don't know what it was, but there was a plague on all the family. And Pharaoh says, get that guy, Abram. Get that guy, come back here. Everybody's got plagued except this woman, Sarah. It's got something to do with her. And then he said to Abraham, Abraham, why didn't you tell me? She's not your sister. She's your wife. Shame on you. A man that would have no more convictions to give another man his wife, to allow another man to go with his wife just to save his neck. What kind of man are you? You take her and you get out of here. You should have been honest. He lied. He lost his testimony. He lost his joy. He said, now wait, Pastor. What happened in Abraham's life? Unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. You say, oh, preacher, you got to understand, I hadn't committed adultery. Preacher, you got to understand, I hadn't had an abortion. Preacher, you got to understand, I hadn't killed anybody. Preacher, you got to understand, I hadn't been in prison. Preacher, you got to understand, I hadn't been an addict. Preacher, you got to understand. No. You got to understand. 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Am I preaching the Bible, by the way? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You may have not murdered anybody, but let me ask you something. Who have you gossiped about? I ask you today, what about the jealousy in your heart? What about the malice in your heart? What about the bitterness in your heart? What about the anger in your heart? What about you holding on to the past? What about you not being faithful in this arena and not being faithful in that arena? I don't know about you, but I just stopped by this morning to tell you, I'm glad that 1 John says this. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And while I'm on a roll, he said, Abraham, I've still given you a land. Abraham, I've still given you a legacy. Abraham, I've still given you a Lord. Abraham, I've still got a plan for you. I just want to remind you folks that God doesn't put us on probation. God does not put us on probation. God is not into probation. I'm glad that God is into pardon. And he didn't come to rub our sins in. He came to rub our sins out. A true story. A deacon, his little daughter walked in and said, Daddy, I'm pregnant. I'm not married. He started pounding the coffee table. He said, you've destroyed our family's reputation. You've destroyed my reputation. I'm a deacon. I'm a leader in the community. I'm a leader in the church. He started pounding the coffee table. And he said, as far as I'm concerned, you and that baby are dead. You get everything you've got and you get out of my home. And he told his friends that he was proud of himself because he took a stand for righteousness. He took a stand for holiness. 6 months later, on a Sunday night, true story, his pastor stood up to preach. But before he preached, he started crying uncontrollably. He said, it breaks my heart to tell you what I've got to tell you. My daughter's pregnant out of wedlock. He said, I'm very disappointed. Her mother's very disappointed. But I love my daughter. And he said, if you want me to resign the church, I will. But he said, if I stay as your pastor, I'm going to help my daughter. Even if it means possibly taking my daughter and this baby into our home and helping her raise this baby. He said, I'm ashamed of what she's done. But I'm not ashamed of the fact she's my daughter. And I'm going to love her and I'm going to help her. And he left the pulpit and he walked down on the second row and he grabbed that little pregnant daughter and he hugged her and he said, I love you. That's a true story, folks. One of those girls is in church today. Just one. One of them's not. Let me tell you something, folks. I've lived long enough. You need a freedom altar. But you're going to need a forgiveness altar too. Don't nobody drop your head. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. You can be pious and judgmental and holier than thou. But let me tell you something. God knows your heart. And you need a forgiveness altar too. You need a forgiveness altar too. And the one preaching today needs a forgiveness altar too. And I thank God for the forgiveness altar. There's a third altar he had. It was the fellowship altar. See, Abraham and Sarah and Lot, they're heading on their way. They're heading to the promised land. And the Bible says there's a disturbance between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen. They just can't get along. And Abraham said to him, he said, we're going to have to part company. Now listen closely. If you live for God, sir, you're going to have to part company with some people. You said, Pastor, I want to live for God. Well, you need to say goodbye to the lounge lizards down at the Crystal Pistol. Now, if you want to live for God, you tell the lounge lizards at the Crystal Pistol, you've seen the last of me. You can't try to live as close to the world as you possibly can and live for God. You got to separate yourself. Say, no. We're going to separate. You say, well, I just thought I'd hang around them. Let me tell you something. You hang around a barber shop, you're going to get a haircut. Now, I'm not in school now, but I've been in school, and I'll tell you this. The winners hang out with the winners. And the losers hang out with the losers. You tell me what you're reading and who you're associating with, and I'll tell you where you'll be 5 years from now. Abraham said, no, we're going to have to part ways. We're going to have to part ways. There's some people that you need to part ways with. Well, I'm with this man. He's not a Christian. I'm a Christian. Well, that's not God's will. We don't believe in this missionary dating. If he or she don't love Jesus more than you do, you don't need them to start with. That was for somebody because I felt so much opposition in it. We need to part ways. And he said, look, you choose the land. Lot looked down there and he said, that spot right down there is well watered. The grass is so green. Let me tell you something. The devil will show you green grass. But it will be over a septic tank. I'm going to get this CD. This is too good for me not to get. It will be over a septic tank, by the way. And it was over Sodom and Gomorrah. And look here, folks. He lost his family. What's worth losing your family over? What's worth losing your family over? Abraham said, this is the land I'll take. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron or Hebron. Wait. And he built an altar there. You know what Hebron Hebron means, it means fellowship. It means fellowship. He said, let me tell you something. Hebron, it was rough. It was a mountain. It was rough. It was a mountain. It was rocky. But he said, I'll tell you what. I know there are going to be high times. There's going to be low times. There's going to be mountains. There's going to be valleys. But he said, I'm going to be able to get through it because I'm going to have an altar of fellowship where I get with the Lord. I'm going to have an altar of fellowship where I get with the Lord during the hard times, during the difficult times. And I've learned that the only thing that's going to sustain me is an altar of fellowship when I can get alone and be with God and have a sweet hour of prayer. Oh, folks, it's the only thing that will sustain you. See, you need some altars. I'm almost done. We need that freedom altar. We need that forgiveness altar. We got to have that fellowship altar. But there's one other we got to have. We got to have that faith built an altar. That faith built an altar. See, Abraham gets to the toughest experience in his life. God said, Abraham, I want you to do something. He said, what do you want me to do, God? In Genesis 22, verse 9, he said, I want you to take your son Isaac and go to Mount Moriah and offer him up there as a sacrifice. See, folks, an altar always carries with it submission and sacrifice. And he said, Abraham, I want to know, do you love me more than anything? I know you love her, but do you love me more than her? I know you love him, but do you love me more than him? I want to know, Abraham, that you love me more than anything. Sometimes, folks, God will ask you to do something that's tough. Sometimes God will ask you to do something that's difficult. I mean this. Because God's wanting to find out what really matters to you. And he said, put that son on the sacrifice. And he did. And he pulled out a knife. And he said, I'm going to do it, God. I want you to know, God, I love you more than anything. And he started to slay the son, and God said, stop. Hey, folks, does God matter more than that business? Does God matter more than that money? Does God matter more than anything? He may just put you to the test. Does God matter more than your health? Does God matter more than your reputation? Does God matter more than how many likes you've got on Facebook? Well, God, I'll live for you if you send her back. No, no. God, I'll live for you if you don't send her back. Because she's not the most important thing. You're the most important thing to me, God. Starts to slay him, and God said, stop, Abraham. I know now you love me more than anything. And about that time, he looked in the thicket, and there was a ram. And he took that ram and he put it on that altar. And Abraham got up and he said, I'm gonna name this place something. I'm going to call this place Jehovah Jireh, which means our God will provide. Our God will provide. Our God will provide. Oh, I say, our God will provide. And what God wants to do in your life. He wants to take you through experiences to build your faith, that when you don't know what to do, that when you can't even stand, you kneel. You'll never know He's all you need until He's all you have. When you don't know what to do, but God, I give it to You. And through giving it to Him, you learn that He is Jehovah Jireh. Now I'm done. But when I was a kid, nobody in our family had ever graduated from college. I was about 20 years old, and I was getting my first degree. There's my redheaded mother. She looked so young there. And now we're both old. But I was getting my first degree. And I was standing back there. And they said, before we present the degrees to the graduates, we're going to have a special song. And about that time, an old black man who could barely get around, he walked up and they said, Brother Wesley's going to sing. And he sang a song that I'd never heard. But God has used this song to carry me through so many times. This is what old Wesley started singing. He said, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. He said, there have been times when I didn't know right from wrong. But he said, in every situation, God gave blessed consolation, that my trials only come to make me strong.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.